Well, the text today comes from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and today I'm reading from a paraphrase called The Message. Dear Theophilus, and what a great name that is, Theophilus, it means lover of God, Theo and Phileo, Theophilus, dear lover of God. In the first volume of this book, I wrote on everything that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he said goodbye to the apostles, the ones he had chosen through the Holy Spirit, and was taken up to heaven. After his death, he presented himself alive to them in many different settings over a period of 40 days. In face-to-face meetings, he talked with them about things concerning the kingdom of God. As they met and ate meals together, he told them that they were on no account to leave Jerusalem, but must wait for what the Father promised, the promise you heard from me. John baptized in water, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and soon. When they were together for the last time, they asked, Master, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Is this the time? He told them, you don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. What you'll get is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all over Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. These were his last words. As they watched, he was taken up and disappeared in a cloud. They stood there, staring into the empty sky. Suddenly, two men appeared in white robes. They said, you Galileans, why do you just stand here looking up at an empty sky? This very Jesus who was taken up from among you to heaven will come as certainly and mysteriously as he left. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The story of Jesus doesn't end with him. Not in terms of his earthly life. Ultimately, yes. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And for those who know him and love him, it is to him that our lives are bound. And it was before him that we will live forever. But in earthly terms, the story doesn't end with his life here on earth. If it did, then what we heard in verse 10 of this text would have been the end. Where it reads, they just stood there staring into an empty sky as he ascended into heaven. It would have been, Jesus goes up, jaws drop, curtain closes, ta-da, it's over. But the story goes on, and we know that. The story continues. It continues through amazing and painful and complicated and beautiful twists and turns throughout history, from first century Jerusalem to 21st century Bloomington. It continues with Mary and Peter and Paul. It continues with Martin Luther and Martin Luther King Jr., and it continues with you and me and every one of us. The story of Jesus continues. Some have described the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as being like solid rocks to put in place. The solid, unshakable foundation. You can't build anything without these in place. These are essential to growth, essential to life. These are essential to the spreading of any news about him. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when we come to that next book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. In Acts, we have the story of what happened next. After his resurrection, after his ascension, after the disciples were standing there, mouths open, looking up into the sky. Acts tells how it goes from there. One pastor describes Acts as being how to handle this thing called the church. How do we handle conflict? How do we handle opposition? How did the church start? How does the church grow? And what is this gift that Jesus promised, the Holy Spirit, that comes upon the church? And what happens when the Holy Spirit comes? Acts is all about this. In Acts, we have a witness. In Acts, we have a witness to learn from and to grow into. If you don't know the book of Acts, I can't encourage you more strongly to read it. Begin today. It reads, it's a page-turner. To put it another way, if we think about the Gospels as telling us about the most important events in all of history, the birth, life, death, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and everything connected to Him. If we think about the Gospels as being about the greatest event in all of time, then Acts tells us about the impact of this. What happened because of this? And it's in these first two chapters, in fact, that there's the nub of it. And what we read this morning, Jesus said to this ragtag collection of ordinary people who were following, fishermen, tax collectors, men, women, He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses here and out from here." And then in chapter 2, it happens. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon these ordinary people, people just like us. And they become powerful mouthpieces for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by way of the Holy Spirit. Saying things, doing things, going places that they never in their lives could have ever imagined. It all begins at the beginning of Acts. And it has never, ever stopped going. It's going on today. The Holy Spirit leading people, giving people the strength, the power, the perspective to give witness, like Sharon gave witness today. That death is nothing because of Jesus. So I'd like us to go back to the text. And keep your Bibles open because we're going to stray a little bit outside of the bounds of what I read this morning. When Jesus said, "In a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit and you'll be my witnesses," He said this to the remaining 11 apostles. Because at this point, Judas, the betrayer, had committed suicide. So there were 11 apostles remaining. He said this, and then He ascended into heaven, hidden by this cloud. And then two men in white appeared, two angels, who said, as mysteriously as He left, He will be coming back. Definitively, He will be coming back. And then after this, the 11 apostles regathered with others who were somewhere in Jerusalem, and there were about 100 others. If you look ahead into the text, at verse 15, we read about Peter stood up among the assembly, and there were about 120 of them. So regathered this group of about 120. What did they do? Well, for one thing, they waited. They waited, just like Jesus told them. They waited. At the end of Luke's Gospel, in chapter 24, Jesus said, "You are my witnesses, and I'm going to send to you what the Father has promised, the Holy Spirit, but stay in the city. Wait for this. Wait." And so we heard in the text from today, He said, in a few days, you'll be baptized by the Holy Spirit. In a few days, wait in the city. Wait for this. So they waited. We can't be sure exactly, we can be sure that they weren't exactly clear about exactly what this would be that they were waiting for. What it would be like to be clothed with power from on high. What it would be like to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. What it would mean to be His witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But they waited. And the word used in the text for wait is not like waiting that we know while stuck in traffic. Or waiting in a line that doesn't move and we're checking our watch and thinking, I hate this. The word used in this text, and it's the only time in the New Testament where this word is used, it means an expectant waiting. An expectant eager, hopeful waiting. Kind of like waiting on the birth of a child. Or waiting for someone you love to come out of surgery. You're waiting. You're waiting with a lot of unknowns, but you were waiting, you were eager. Of course, they had a hint of what it was that they were waiting for. They'd been around Jesus. They'd seen his power. They'd seen miracles happen and lives changed. And they saw the truth take hold in people. They knew the powerful Spirit of God was upon Jesus. And now Jesus said this would come upon them. And they waited. They waited kind of up on tiptoes waiting. Can't wait. They also prayed. Look at verse 14. It's an important verse in this. They all joined together constantly in prayer. That word describing their prayer life as being constant is, in Greek, a really muscular word. It means a dogged persistence. It means a steady, determined, committed focus in prayer. Persisting in prayer. Waiting and persisting. We're not told exactly what they prayed about. But we know that prayer is what they did. And they all joined in this together. They were working at prayer together. They were alert and primed and ready in prayer, waiting for God, for what God was going to do, even if they didn't know what shape it would take. They were waiting and they were praying. And God was somehow preparing the ground. He was preparing them in that waiting and praying for something to happen that the world had never seen before. An eruption of the Holy Spirit. A blanketing of God's people with his power and his presence and turning them into witnesses. Witnesses who could speak into hearts. Witnesses who could give a word and lives would turn around. Witnesses who were able by God's grace to spark repentance. Turning away from sin, a new direction in life, and new life growing all by God at work. New life burst out on Pentecost, which we'll be celebrating next Sunday. So I hope you'll be here for that. The ground was prepared by waiting and praying. Hands open, ready for God to act whenever, however, in whatever way God chose. There are a lot of different directions to go with this. But with what we're doing here today, bringing forward names of people. People for whom we are committing to pray. Bringing forward these prayer cards as we come to receive his mercy and grace through the bread and the cup and the oil. I pray that this will be the beginning, that this will be the greater propulsion toward constant prayerfulness on our part. Persisting at it, really working in prayer. Not going through a short checklist, but really working in prayer. I pray that we will be as wide open to however God wants to use us as we can be. Just like those first disciples. Wide open. Using us to bear witness to the world around us, including those people we know and love. With our words, maybe. But also with our actions, with our attitudes, with our reactions, with our choices, with how we live as people look in on us. So that through all of it, others will see the living presence of Jesus Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit in us. And I pray that we'll be willing to wait on God. Waiting on his timing, waiting with an expectancy. Kind of like waiting for the birth of a child or waiting for someone to come out of surgery. Waiting, waiting, waiting. Not checking the clock. But just waiting. Waiting on tiptoes for the answers to our prayers. In particular for these people we know and love who do not yet know the Lord. I pray that we'll wait and that we will really pray. So let me ask you, Who was praying for you before you had any idea they were praying for you? Some of us have had in our lives a long wander away from Jesus and a long walk back, maybe not all the way back yet. Or it's been a long path of gradually discovering that Jesus is more than we thought he was, and there's so much more to come. Who was praying for you on that journey, or who still is praying for you? Your name on their lips. Your name written down on a sheet in their Bible. Who might that be? Some of you have known Jesus as Savior and Lord from before you can remember. Who prayed that that would be the case for you? Who prayed that your life would be like that? Your mom or dad? Grandparents, an aunt and uncle, a good family friend, close friend of yours, maybe a Sunday school teacher whose name you've long forgotten, somebody you don't even know. And who can you point to, living or dead, who stands out as one of those witnesses? One of those witnesses. You could almost sense, you could almost smell the presence of Jesus in them. See him in their eyes, hear him in their voice. Who's been like that for you? I remember at a pastor's retreat years ago, there were about 50 of us there, and we were asked to stand up one by one and to name the people who had a powerful influence in our lives in terms of coming to know the Lord, in terms of becoming pastors. And one by one, people stood up. And I don't mean to take away any credit to the big-time evangelists like Billy Graham and others, but their names weren't mentioned. Here's who was mentioned: my mom, my dad, my grandpa, my aunt, my third-grade Sunday school teacher, somebody who worked at Vacation Bible School, a volunteer in the youth group who heard my questions and who took time to get to know me. These are the people who are named. Who is it for you? And have you told them? Have you thanked God for them? These are the people, we are the people, who God uses to grow his kingdom, who God calls to be his witnesses in a world that is running headlong away from him. We are people with whom God will do what Jesus promised, to pour out his Holy Spirit, to give us the power to be his witnesses beyond a power that we in and of ourselves have. Whether it's in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, or whether it's right here in our own neighborhoods, and the hallways of the church, because we know that the world has come here. The ends of the earth are here already. I am so very grateful to God for the people who prayed for me as I wandered far from Jesus. At that time, in those days, I thought prayer was just a sweet gesture. But for me, it had no power at all. Not from my perspective. But they persisted, and they waited. My parents, Sid, my brother, other close friends, and I am so very grateful that they persisted in prayer and they waited. Praying on my behalf so that in God's timing and by God's ways, all by his grace coming undeserved, I could know the wonder of forgiveness and the beauty of new life in Christ. Who's been praying for you? Who's still at it? Your name on their lips in prayer. And for whom are you doing this? Whose name is on your lips in prayer? How many names are there? It's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to do, to be his witnesses. Prayers. People who step out in faith, people who put faith into action, who really trust that he will provide, that he does answer prayer. People who are clothed with the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus, by his grace, have an impact in this world beyond what we might ever even know or imagine. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for the ones who have named our names to you in prayer, and who are maybe doing this today. Thank you for answered prayer. And thank you that you equip us, you empower us in ways that are totally unique to each one of us to be your witnesses. Forgive us for backing away from this. Forgive us for how sporadic we are in prayer, how impatient we can be in waiting. Forgive us and replace that with expectancy. And now prepare us deep in our souls to receive what you alone can give, your broken body, your blood poured out, the bread of heaven, the cup of forgiveness, and the anointing oil of healing. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.